Come on now, y'all can do that better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
That sounded better. That sounded like more excitement. What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Want to turn your attention to the announcements to the right side of your bulletin. Please remember to fill out your attendance sheets. I think we're going to send those around after the choir comes down. And remember to continue to bring cereal for fish. I didn't look at the basket this morning, so I'm not real sure if we got bunches or not. I usually try to make a point to look at that. That's one of the things that kind of excites me when I see that basket running over. By the way, I forgot my bag that I left at home. Next lunch with the pastor will be Tuesday, August the 24th at 11:30. We have a little change. It looks like we're going to be at the Butcher Block downtown Monroe. We're going to try that. So everybody come out. We do have a good time. I always get jealous because they're just having so much fun, and I'm the only one that has to leave to get back to work. So some of you ladies that are working need to join us so I won't feel so bad when I have to leave. But we do have a good time. It's a lot of good fun and fellowship, and it's just a good time to just be able to just, you know, just talk to each other. And of course, we got about 10 conversations going on, so, you know, but it is fun. So come out and do that with us. United Methodist Men's Breakfast is September the 5th at 8 o'clock. Is that correct, men? Are y'all still meeting, even though that's Labor Day weekend? To be announced, United Methodist Men. Administrative Council meeting will be on September the 25th. That'll be immediately after church. So put that on your calendar because we did bump that up just due to the holiday weekend. September 12th? Mm-hmm. Did I not say 12th? Okay, well, 12th, guys. I apologize for that. I'm getting ahead, aren't I? But do put that on your calendar. United Methodist Women will meet September the 13th because of Labor Day weekend. We bumped it up a week. And Theresa is planning on starting a Bible study with us starting September the 20th. I did get something into the 20th, didn't I? At 7 o'clock, so she says she will see us there. And I'm excited about that. I think that will be good because that way we'll have something going on during the week. Our September UMW project is canned fruit for fish. So in addition to us bringing cereal for fish, that's church-wide, but our UMW project is canned fruit for September. So if you will bring that the night of. And we're having a healing service and family night dinner scheduled for September the 19th, starting at 6 o'clock. So sounds like we got a lot going on for September. That sounds exciting. Theresa must think that it's going to be cooler or something since it's going to be fall.
And I also left off the UMM chicken barbecue on the 11th. Don't forget that.
Okay. The 11th, is that still on, guys? September the 11th. Wow. Okay, well, we're just going to come with a buying garden. We're going to have lots of good fun and fellowship with that, too. I guess we will get together later about who's doing what, or maybe we just need to remember what we have done in the past. Is that right, Max?
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else to add? It sounds like we gave you
a lot. The choir is going to sing tomorrow night at Campton United Methodist Church for their revival, and I'd like to invite everybody to come out and support our choir, and we'll know you're going to be blessed by the music. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. We appreciate that. And that's going to be at 7 o'clock, right, at Campton United Methodist. That sounds like a good night. Yes, if you can, please do come out and enjoy the revival and also support our choir, because we know that they're going to do a good job, because they always do. We appreciate our choir and all their hard work, and appreciate Kim with all of her hard work, and Ann. Y'all are just a blessing to our church, and we thank you for that. Does anybody else have anything that we need to add to the announcements? If not, we will begin worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me be never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel.
For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth.
Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually on you.
Let us pray. Dearest and most gracious God, you are indeed Lord of all. Your glory is a gift to all peoples, and the door to your kingdom is open to all. We thank you for your time of worship. Your Spirit be with us always. Speak to us and touch us and set us free. Lead us in the way that you would have us to go, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our hymn of praise this morning is 133 in the United Methodist Hymnal. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. That's always a good one.
Good morning.
scripture lesson comes this morning from Isaiah 58, verses 9 through 14, if you want to follow along. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be a watered garden like a spring of water, whose water never falls. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on your holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the reading of God's holy word. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Christ the Lord, and in Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Sermon. Good morning. I have a picture here. I have a picture of my favorite fork. Yeah, what's wrong with my fork? Do you think I could eat with that fork? Do you think I could, would it even fit in my mouth? No? How would you eat peas with that fork? With honey, because it'd make the peas stick to the fork. That's a good answer. Thank you very much. What if I don't have honey? I don't eat peas? Thank you for pointing that out. With glue, I don't think that'd be tasty either. What's wrong with this fork? It's all bent out of shape. Look at that. Isn't it bent out of shape? Our story today, I want you to listen in a little bit. We've got the gospel story about two people that are all bent out of shape. One of them is a lady who can't help but be bent out of shape because she's physically bent over and all she can see is the ground. Is that her fault? No, but you still see she's kind of bent out of shape, just like this fork is, so that she thinks she cannot fulfill the purpose that God has for her. But I tell you what, you can take a fork like this, and in the talented hands of Miss Melissa, I bet you could make a beautiful bracelet or something out of it, couldn't you? Even though it's bent, you could bend it around your wrist and make the tines all curly cues. So even though it doesn't fulfill the purpose the fork was originally made for because it's all bent out of shape, doesn't mean that the fork doesn't still have value. Is that true? You can make a beautiful piece of jewelry that would make people very happy to have. Well, we got another guy in our gospel story today who's just all bent out of shape because something happened in his church that he believed shouldn't have happened. You know what? Jesus, he went and healed somebody on the Sabbath. Oh no, how horrible. Is that a horrible thing? No. What is the Sabbath? Do you know what a Sabbath is? We have Sabbath today on Sundays, right? And what do you usually think of Sunday being? It's kind of like a day of rest and recreation, recreation, where you can do things that charge your batteries and fun things. You don't have to go to school, do you? No. Do you have to go to work? No. Some people get all bent out of shape when you do things on the Sabbath they think you shouldn't be doing. But Jesus was saying he valued people more than he valued even God's law or the rules. Because when I was growing up, y'all, it was the rule that on Sunday you couldn't even play tennis. We tried to do that, and my grandmother did not like that. It was the rule that you couldn't do any work at all. You couldn't work in your garden. You couldn't do the dishes. I think y'all would like that on Sunday, wouldn't you? Yeah, okay. But people, that's against the rules. Well, Jesus is telling us in this passage that people are more important sometimes than some rules. Now, not all the rules, but just some of the rules. Like, don't work on Sunday. What he's trying to teach us here is that our relationship with one another is more important sometimes than rules. Let us pray. Pray after me, okay? Dear Jesus, help me learn which rules are really important and help me value people over rules when it's appropriate. Help me realize that sometimes I'm doing God's work even when I think I'm not. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can go back and sit with your parents or go back with Melissa. Thank you. It's time in our worship service where we share our prayer concerns with one another. Are there any prayer concerns we need to lift up before the body today? Anyone at all? Yes. Carol Pennington. How are Jeannie and Grady Lemons doing?
Jeannie's home now.
Jeannie's home? Well, that's good. She was having a hard time there for several weeks. Well, we will continue to keep her in our prayers. Let us pray. Yes. Yes.
And his mom called me actually a little over a week ago. I was here last Sunday and said that his PET scan was completely clear.
Well, praise God. PET scan clear.
Radiation right now, so let's continue to pray for him. It's the greatest that God has actually put out and put in his life.
He's working. Let us praise God for that. The fact that Dylan Erb is better, and God's healing power is being felt in his life. Are there others? I'm going to, with Lauren's permission, let's add Lauren onto the list, because she's having a hard time right now with medical problems. We actually ended up at Scottish Rite on Friday morning, and I just would like a resolution of all this. It would be nice. There are several people that are not with us this morning. I noticed Greg and Judy are not here, and Sam. Who else? Joyce is not here, unless I don't see her. Who else is not here? Catherine. And, Francis Pinnell is not here. And who else? The Reddings are not here. So let us keep all of those people who are either traveling or not feeling well in our prayers. Are there any others? If there are no others, then let us go to God in prayer. Dearest and most gracious God, we come before you now to give you our thanks with reverence and awe, because before we were even formed in the womb, you knew us. Before we were even born, you consecrated us. You are always our rock and our haven, to whom we can always turn. In times past, you appointed prophets and put words in their mouths, appointing them over the nations and kingdoms to destroy wickedness, to overthrow the ruthless, and to build justice and plant righteousness. But to us, God, you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom every day is a sacred new day of freedom. You have appointed him to be our new covenant, the covenant in which we are brought to the city of the living God with the angels and the saints and the faithful of every age to rejoice together at the wonderful things that you have done and that you are continuing to do. Through Jesus, your living word, you reach out to us and touch us and set us free. Dearest Lord, you are Father and Mother of us all. And we pray for those who are part of our human community, of our human family. We pray for the little ones. We pray for those who are seen as unimportant. We pray for those who believe that they are unimportant. We pray for those who are lost. We pray for those who grieve as ones with no hope. We pray for those who hunger for the bread of heaven and thirst for the wine of forgiveness. God, we pray that they receive the vision that they need from your hands and the encouragement that they long for. God, we pray today for those that are afflicted in various and sundry ways, for those who are bent over with illness or suffering from disease, for those who suffer in the body and the mind,
and for all of those that we know require a blessing from you, be it physical blessing, an emotional blessing, a financial blessing, a spiritual blessing. Lord, in your abundant mercy, we ask that you hear our prayers. We hand over to you as well, God, those individuals and situations that we have shared in our sharing time and whose names now rest upon our hearts. Lord, in your abundant mercy, hear our prayers. Touch, God, all those who are bent over and oppressed by crippling spirits and set them free. All of those who are afflicted by attitudes and opinions and viewpoints that cause them and others to become bowed down and suffer needlessly. Create in them the joy that is meant to be part of your Sabbath, the day which we rest from our labors and celebrate the wholeness that comes from you and from the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will our ushers please come forth for our offering today? Let us pray. Dearest and gracious God, we offer ourselves and our gifts to you so that the light you have shone upon us may burn more brightly, so that the word may be carried to others by the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. Bless our offering and make it fruitful. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, by this confession of faith we call the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it on page 881 of your United Methodist hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel today is from Luke 13, starting with the 10th verse. If you have your pew Bible, if you'll join along with me, let us listen with attentive ears to what God has to say to us today. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands upon her, immediately she stood up straight and began to praise God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on this Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. The word of God for the people of God. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I do sometimes get bent out of shape myself. How about you? You ever get bent out of shape? Yeah, well, I got bent out of shape a couple of times this week. I get annoyed, irritated, aggravated. Sometimes you might even say mad as an old wet hen when things either don't go the way I think they ought to go, or just when my schedule has to change because of unforeseen circumstances. I mean, I remember having a flat tire on the way to an appointment, and I got bent out of shape. I got outside, and I looked at that tire, and I kicked it. I had another flat tire on the way home from a Christmas Eve service. I was all alone in the car, right? No one was with me on a deserted road. No one's passing me by. I have a flat tire. I get out. I start kicking that tire. I try to call Bill, and guess what? No cell phone service. I got bent out of shape. We do get bent out of shape, don't we? There are all kinds of reasons we get bent out of shape. But today, we're going to talk about three things that are getting bent out of shape in this scripture. Number one, we're going to talk about a lady who's been bent out of shape for 18 years. We're going to talk about a Pharisee who got bent out of shape because things didn't go the way he thought it ought to go. And then we're going to talk about how sometimes the law of God or the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ gets bent out of shape so that it's not useful any longer. Let's talk about the lady first. This lady was bent out of shape. We really don't know, reading the scripture, what her problem was. But I know people who have had
physical infirmaries, ailments that cause their body to become twisted. I have a dear friend whose father just passed away a couple of weeks ago, who had a horrible disease that I would not wish upon anybody called ankylosing spondylitis. Y'all ever heard of that one? It's the hunchback disease. And the older you get, the more and the more and the more you become hunched back. To the point where Reverend Spooner could do nothing but basically look at his feet and the feet of the person standing next to him. He couldn't even look you in the eye when he was talking to you if he was standing up. He couldn't reach anything in his kitchen cabinets. He managed to live alone by keeping everything laid out on his kitchen counter because he could not reach up into his kitchen cabinet. He had a hard time driving. He had a hard time living life. But he didn't let it stop him. He was bent out of shape for I don't know why, for what reason. None of us know why we have to suffer physical infirmaries, why we have to suffer diseases. In fact, that's a whole sermon series we could go on about disease and why bad things happen to good people. Luke, though, tells us in this passage that her sickness was caused by a spirit. She had a spirit of sickness. And remember, Luke is a doctor. Remember that? He's a physician. That's how he's been trained, as a Greek physician. So Dr. Luke here uses those words very deliberately. He doesn't use the word that would mean in the Greek that would mean illness or disease or injury. The word he uses is crippled by a spirit. And then in verse 12, Jesus uses the word infirmary that doesn't mean sickness caused by a disease, but rather weakness. And this is bound even further by verse 16 that says this woman was bound by Satan. Now that's not, how many times do you think Jesus ever says this? I tell you, it's only a handful of times. Most of the time when Jesus goes and heals someone, it is a physical disease. But he's very careful to let us know here that this is not a physical disease, it's a disease caused by a spirit. And there are a lot of modern scholars and a lot of people who say, oh, come on now, in this day of modern medicine and microbiology and what is it, when you look at diseases, epidemiology, you don't believe that disease is caused by demons, do you? And I'll tell you, no, for the most part, I don't. And neither did the New Testament risers, but they do say that some diseases are caused by demon possession. And this is one of those cases. And there are other illnesses that don't mention demons. But this is not a sermon about how you're sick by demons. What it is a sermon about is how she was freed from her demons. First off, I want to make a point here. As bent as this lady was, as diseased as she was, as much suffering as she was, where was she on the Sabbath? She was in synagogue, was she not? She had her priorities straight. She may have been bent in the body, but her priorities were straight. And I tell you what, she had a powerful excuse for not coming if she could not look up. Did she not have a powerful excuse? There's so many people that if they were bent over like that, like Reverend Spooner was, would just say, hey, I can't make it to church today. I just don't think I can do it. I'm not strong enough. I just can't do it. And to be honest, there are those who are not strong enough. And you know that as well as I do. And that's why I'm so glad that we got that CD burner working so I can take CDs out to our shut-ins. But today, we use excuses like, well,
we're remodeling the house, and I worked all day on Saturday, and I'm just so tired. I'm not going to go to church on Sunday. Have you ever heard an excuse like that? Be honest. Or, my son's Little League game is on Sunday, and I'd hate to have him miss a game. You ever heard that one? Huh? Or, it's so hard to get the kids up and going in the morning. Lord, don't I know? I've got two of them. I understand how that is. Or we've had company now for 3 weeks, and they aren't churchgoers, so we just don't want to go to church either. Or our business is just not doing real well, so we got to work on Sunday. Well, in this economy, that's kind of excusable. But this woman didn't let any excuses stay in her way, did she? She made sure that her priorities were straight. Too many things can come before God. She made sure that her physical infirmity did not come before God. We have to ask ourselves, is God one of our priorities? And if not, then why are we sitting in church to begin with? Why? She could have bent her plans and stayed at home, but instead she chose to come to church. Who else do we notice here that's bent out of shape? Did you notice that Pharisee? That leader of the church? That poor woman had been set free of this demon that had been enslaving her, making her suffer for 18 years. And she stood up and she started saying, "Praise God, hallelujah." Wouldn't you? I mean, that's a very natural thing to do. She was praising God, but the leader of that synagogue just could not stand it. That was out of the ordinary. It didn't follow the order of worship. It wasn't printed in the bulletin. And so he didn't like it one bit. He got all indignant and bent out of shape. In the midst of this big celebration, he jumped up to his feet and told everybody, "Be quiet and sit down and stop rejoicing. This is not going the way it's supposed to be going, and we are not going to have this in my synagogue." He even quoted a bit of scripture to back him up. Did you notice that? He quoted a bit of scripture, Exodus 29, if you want to look it up. But it's one thing to quote scripture and another thing to apply it correctly. Let's look at his tactics, how he got mad. If you'll notice, this guy did not get mad directly at Jesus, did he? He didn't stand up and say, "Jesus, get on out of here. You're healing on the Sabbath." What did he do instead? He tried to do what I call rabble-rousing. Are you familiar with rabble-rousing? Where you get everybody else all stirred up too, before you address the person you're really mad at. Why do people do that? Well, they want to gather support, right? They want the mob mentality behind them. And the other reason is because they're just plain old cowards to do it. So he did this thing I would call rabble-rousing, trying to get everybody else stirred up. But what happened? It backfired on him, didn't it? It backfired because the people knew this woman had been set free. They were rejoicing with her. They were saying, "Praise God, hallelujah." There are deeper reasons why he might be bent out of shape. Theologically, or if you look at sociologically, Jesus did something in his sanctuary, in his synagogue, that a good Jewish man knew better to do. Now, a Jewish synagogue at that time would have had the women in the back or on one side curtained off, and the men separated from the women. You know, there were used to be churches here in Georgia where they'd have a men's door and a ladies' door, and they'd sit on either side. Have y'all ever been to one of those where you separate the sexes? Well, not only were the sexes separated, but the women were not allowed to be close to the front of the church. They were told to be in the back of the church. So by Jesus acknowledging a woman in the sanctuary was scandalous. It was something that just was not done. Not only did he acknowledge her and see her, he called her up into the center of attention. So you can see where his anger is coming from. I understand his anger. Thirdly, Jesus touched her. According to the holiness codes in the Old Testament, a man should not touch a woman that he is not related to or married to, period. You do not even shake hands. So here's this woman. He doesn't know. He calls her up front in the center, and he touches her. Then he does something even more scandalous. He calls her daughter of Abraham. And if you look in the Bible, that's the only time that phrase appears, saying that she is just as much under the love and care of God as the men are. Daughter of Abraham. Then, not only that, it's on the Sabbath. Jesus had this problem of healing on the Sabbath. He just liked to do it, I think, just to fly in the face of conventions. And then he flies into the face of common knowledge, knowing that sin causes disease. He did not say, "Woman, you are free from your sin." He freed her from the spirit that had beset her for so long. It was not her sin that caused the disease. This is still a common thing. I know personally a woman who was told by another Christian, the reason you have breast cancer is because you have unconfessed sin in your life. Is that true? You and I know better than that, I hope. We have breast cancer because there's suffering in this world, not because there's unconfessed sin. That's just not right. He was bent out of shape. And then Jesus calls him something. What does he call him? Hypocrite. You hypocrite. What does hypocrite really mean? Do you know what it means? It means two-faced. Say one thing, do another. Hypocrite. Hypocrite. That's what he calls him. You hypocrite. We come here on Sabbath to worship God. What better way to worship God than to set someone free from the things that have bound them? If you put things before your relationship with God or your relationship with other people, you are being a hypocrite. And you call yourself Christian, you're being a hypocrite. He said, "Look, you've managed to twist the law. You go and take your ox and your donkey and you lead them more than a Sabbath's walk over here to water because they might suffer if they didn't get water. You do that, but you won't let me heal a woman on Sunday. You hypocrite." And a hypocrite they were. And hypocrites, y'all, they didn't exist just 2,000 years ago. You know what? They're still with us. And I will admit this. There are times that I act hypocritical. That I say one thing and act another way. Is that not true? Does it not happen to all of us? Does it not? I tell the children, you know, y'all need to be getting up earlier in the morning. And if I don't get up early in the morning, then what am I? I'm a hypocrite. If I tell them, y'all need to be eating that burger, and I go eat a burger, then what am I? A hypocrite. It's part of our human nature. But the part that I will say a Christian should have is when you're called out on your hypocritical behavior and someone points out to you, you said to do this, but you're doing that, the Christian should stop and say, "You're right. I'm wrong. I will confess my sin and I will repent and I will try to do better in the future." That's the difference. Do you see the difference there? Do you see the difference? We still have hypocrites among us, though, y'all. And
we still have some people that are self-appointed religious experts. They're uptight people who like to depend on strict religious rules of what you do and you don't do in church. And you usually can spot them when other people are getting happy and starting to praise God. They're the ones that start getting the sour face on. They're the ones that when you see the little kids up in the front of the church being happy and singing their songs or having the worship service, they're the ones that notice, well, Johnny had a pen in his hand, and I'm afraid he might start marking on one of the pews instead of being happy that we have children in the church. Can I hear an amen? Like the people in this text, they are quick to complain. They get upset when they see someone having a good time in church because they were raised thinking that if you're a Christian and you're religious, you're supposed to be miserable. Do you know anyone like that? Oh, I'm suffering so much for the Lord. God doesn't want us to suffer. God wants us to rejoice and be happy. When people do that, I believe they take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are to rejoice in our salvation and bend it out of shape. Do you know people like that? Well, I'm just suffering for God. You're supposed to be rejoicing for God, even through your suffering. Reverend Jim Spooner, God bless him, rejoiced in God every single Sunday. Now, of course, he also was a minister. And his favorite place to be was church. But he loved his church. Even on those days where he could not literally get up out of bed and go, he would love his church. And he would rejoice in the fact that he had eternal salvation. And it made him so happy and joyful that he was a joy to be around. Every church has what I like to call a wet blanket committee. Sometimes we call it the cold water committee. Every time the fire of God gets touched off in somebody's heart and they start stirring stuff up and new things start to happen and there's new and creative ways to get onto church, they pour cold water on the idea. They say things like, we don't do things like that around here. Or, we've never done it that way before. Like the ruler of that synagogue, these people may even quote scripture at you. But the more they're more into the rules that are in the freedom that is found in Christ Jesus. And don't you know that no matter what their anger is about, it is destructive. A lady once came to Billy Sunday and tried to rationalize her wet blanket attitudes and her angry outburst. And she said, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up, then it just blows over. And Billy said, and he said, so does a shotgun, and look at the damage it leaves behind. Is that not true? Here's another thing he said. Billy Sunday's great. Some people's favorite meal is stew. They stew about everything. They swallow up every offense and then let it boil over inside. God wants us to take time to enjoy Him on the Sabbath, not to bury each other in squabbles and conflicts about what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. We need to just praise God together. Does it sound harsh? Maybe. Maybe it does. But we should not bend the gospel or our faith so much out of shape that it no longer resembles the faith that was delivered to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, in conclusion, here we have a lady, a dear Jewish lady, bent out of shape, bent over and bound by Satan, but so convicted to come to church, that she came regardless, anytime she could. She did not bring herself to Jesus' attention. Jesus noticed her first. He called her up. He unbound her. Today, where is the sin in our lives? Where are the spirits in our lives that are keeping us bent over? That's the question we need to ask. Then Christ calls us and casts Jesus out, makes us upright in God's presence, and we should spend our lives rejoicing that we are confident against eternal death, confident about judgment, confident about eternal life. The choice is ours. How are we to act? And we should act until that day that we can no longer act, confident and joyful in God's holy presence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are days when your word seems harsh and hard. Things that are hard to do. Help us cast out that spirit of unbelief. Cast out that spirit of doubt so that we know your joy in all parts of our lives. That even if you cannot straighten bent bodies, that you can straighten our spirit. And help us become one with you, one with Christ, one with each other, until the final banquet comes and we can sing your praises forever. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you'll join me in our closing hymn, is Spiritual Life Songbook number 36, Love Lifted Me. Wonderful Words of Life, sorry. Love Lifted Me was the last hymn we sang. So please stand and join me in Wonderful Words of Life. That is found in Christ Jesus our Lord, singing our praise that we are no longer bound by sin. Amen.